Hallelujah. If you could stand with me for the reading of God's word from Acts chapter 9 and verse 1. Acts chapter 9 and verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. Jumping down to verse 9. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat nor drink. And the title of my message is Blinded by the Light. Turn to your neighbor and say, Blinded by the Light. Amen. We're going to pray, ask for God's utterance, and that he will speak through me this afternoon. Father, we just thank you. Lord, I know you've accepted our worship. I know your presence is here. Lord, I ask that you give me utterance, that the words that I shall speak are for this congregation and are from you. Lord, anoint my lips, Lord God. Anoint our hearts to receive. We thank you and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're smiling, you may be seated. Amen. 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 Everybody seated comfortably? That's how they used to start the stories in kindergarten. They said, are you seated comfortably? Because I want you to be relaxed in Jesus. I want you to just feel the spirit that it will be able to minister to you today. Amen. Now, there are many ways that the enemy tries to destroy us as Christians. But one of the most important ways that he tries to destroy us is to have us lose sight of Jesus. To have us distracted. To have us involved in so many distractions, in so many things. Pastor, lose sight of Jesus? Yes. Yes, you can be coming to church and lose sight of Jesus. You know, you can get into a routine. Tomorrow you're going to get up, you're going to go to work, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. Tuesday night you come to Bible study, Sunday morning you come back to church, and you get into a routine, but you have actually lost sight of Jesus. We get into these routines where we forget what our purpose is. Our purpose is not just to come here to go to work, to buy food, to go to school. There is a higher purpose that God has called us to. Our purpose as Christians is actually not about our job. It's not about our schooling, really. It's not about relationships. It's not about marriage. All of these are important earthly relationships. These make life comfortable. But that should not be your highest purpose. That should be not what motivates you at the very top of your being. If they are, you're never going to achieve your creation purpose. Let me say it again. You will never achieve your creation purpose if the things that just you go through every day is all you're thinking about. What we need to do is to see Jesus. In John chapter 12 and verse 20, it says there were certain Greeks amongst them that came up to worship at the feast. They heard that Jesus was going to be at Jerusalem. And you know what their purpose was? It was to see Jesus. They came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. I hope that's what you came here to do, not to see me, but to see Jesus, to get a touch, to get a feel, to leave different than the way you came. If you came just to a church, there's hundreds of churches in Milwaukee. If you came just to wear your best clothes, there's lots of other places you go. I hope you came to get a touch, to see Jesus, to feel something, to hear something that's going to motivate you, that's going to change your outlook. These people, they came to Jerusalem for the feast, supposedly, but their real motive was to see Jesus. Because they had heard about this man that can change lives, that did miracles, that was different from anyone else they'd ever heard of. And their highest motivation when they came to Jerusalem was to see Jesus. They said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." What is our purpose today? Why did you come? Why did you come? Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we're in a storm in life and the storm distracts us from our purpose. In Matthew chapter 14 and verse 28, we have the story of the storm that came on the Sea of Galilee. And they saw Jesus out there, but they weren't sure if it was him. And Peter answered and said unto him, "If it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water." And this is my favorite word. This is the word I believe Jesus gave me. If Jesus gives you one word, you can stand upon that word. He told Peter, "Come." That was the only word he needed to get out the boat in a storm at night. You can walk on just one word from Jesus if that word is come. Maybe that word may be go for you. Maybe he's got you going somewhere. But you need a word from Jesus. You need to see Jesus even in the storm. Even in this storm, the people in the boat saw Jesus. And Peter said, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me, give me a word that I can come." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. A miracle was happening. How could this miracle happen in a storm? You know what it was? Peter was looking at Jesus. He wasn't looking at the storm. He wasn't looking at the distraction. He wasn't looking at the waves. He wasn't looking at the wind. But when he saw the wind, when he took his eyes off of Jesus, he began to sink. He was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried saying, "Lord, save me." The key to walking on water during a storm is actually to be blind. You need to keep your eyes on Jesus. If you're going through a storm, you need to be blind to the winds of life. You need to be blind to the heartaches and the hurts. You need to be blind to the water of fear that was coming in the boat. These were hardened fishermen. They understood bad storms from just a little calm storm. And they were afraid. But as long as they kept their eyes on Jesus, everything was going to be okay. Sometimes you have to be blind to the troubles of this world. Sometimes you have to put them out of your mind so that you can keep your eye upon Jesus. You don't keep your eye upon me, I'll disappoint you. I'll upset you. I'll fail you. But if you keep your eye on Jesus, he will never fail you. He will never disappoint you. He will never let you down. See, all of us are going to sink if we start looking at the troubles that are around us. Amen. There's enough trouble to sink me. Amen. If I started to dwell on all the things I got to do, you know, this is tax time, right? Everybody know that? Okay, some of you are going to get some refunds, but maybe some of you won't. I'm not going to look at that. I want to keep my eyes on Jesus. I want to make sure that I'm looking at his face. Amen. These people came and they said, "Look, we desire to see Jesus." Their purpose was the feast, yes, but primarily they had heard about this man. I hope you came here today because you heard that there's something happening, that you can leave different than the way you came, that you can get a touch, that you can worship, that you can praise, you can lift up your hand, and you can call upon the Son of God, and that you can find him. Now, what do I mean by seeing Jesus? What do I mean when I say you got to see Jesus? I mean you have to know him. By seeing Jesus, I mean he has to fill your vision. By seeing Jesus, he has to be your primary goal. By seeing Jesus, he has to be your number one priority. See, there's a storm all around each and every one of us. There's water of hardships coming in your boat. Anyone just flying along in life, no problems? Can I see some hands? Who's got not a care in the world? I'm right? We all in some kind of storm? We all in some kind of storm? Okay. I didn't want to be the only one in the storm. Amen. By seeing Jesus, I mean that's all that's filling your perspective. That's all that's in your mind. You see, we need to be blind to some of these things because they are distractions. Jesus said, "You can't think yourself taller." Some of the things we're worrying about, we can do nothing about. It's not even in our hands. Yes, there's a storm around all of us. As I said, the water of hardship may be coming in your boat. I know Sister Nancy, not to call her name, she had her account hacked yesterday. And I know how terrifying that must have been if you go to your account and it was cleared out. There may be trouble at home. There may be trouble in relationships. The winds of fear and doubt may be blowing. There's a lightning storm of Satan whispering in your ear. But despite all of that, you have to keep your focus on Jesus. Problem is, a lot of people here are saying, you're not telling me anything new. Some people are not teachable. Can't teach me anything. I've been in church all my life. You're not saying anything new, Pastor. I'm not hearing you. You're not telling me anything I did not know. You know the problem with that? It's found in John 9:40. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, and they said, are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now we say, we see. Therefore, your sin remaineth. The problem with a lot of us is we're too arrogant and proud. We're too stuck up to hear when the word is speaking to us. As I said, the disciples, when Jesus said, one of you will betray me, they didn't do this thing, him. You know, in class, when you want to get the other guy in trouble, you turn around and you look. Everybody looking. You know what the disciples, they said? They said, is it I? Is it I? Could it be me? Could I betray him? The truth is yes. Every single one of them there could have betrayed him for one reason or another. We need to get to the point where we say, is it I? Because until we get, is it I, we're not going to see him as he is. See, we will be like these Pharisees that said, listen, we learned the law from a little bitty child. I've been in church all my life. There's nothing you're going to tell me, Pastor. Jesus told them, it's because you say you see, you're actually blind. But it was the wrong kind of blindness. It was the blindness that doesn't let them see the one they should see. See, we can be blind and come to church every Sunday. I really can't see. Can't understand. Now, in my other job, I'm currently interviewing some people for my company. They're hiring a bunch of engineers. And one of the things I'm trying to do when I'm interviewing people, I want to see how self-aware they are. I want to see if they understand exactly their strengths and their weaknesses. So I ask them, I say, if somebody that you work with was to talk about you, what would they say is your strength? What would they say is your weakness? And it's amazing the answers I get. You see, we can't see ourselves, but that's why God holds up his word, that we can be reflected, that we can see the deficiencies. And sometimes we need to be blind to some of the things that distract us so that we can keep our eyes upon Jesus. Amen? Amen. See, there's two kind of things that paralyze us. You see, there could have been people who are greatly talented. They have all these skills and they have all the everything that the world wants, and they get so arrogant and proud that they become blind. Then there's the other category where you let your weaknesses paralyze you. You look too much on yourself and all the things you can't do and all your failures and your faults, and that also paralyzes you. Both of those things are no good. You see, sometimes we look at ourselves and we say we're so undeserving, and that's true. That's true. But you know what? Jesus died for us, the scripture said, while we were yet sinners. He loved us. While we were in our mess, while we couldn't do anything good, he loved us. That's what I'm talking about. That's what you have to see. That's what you have to understand. That's what you have to know. Not up here. You have to know that in here. Amen. That's where you have to see. Not so much with the logic, but with your heart. Otherwise, I'm going to sink. As soon as I take my eyes off of Jesus, there's enough storm, there's enough wind, there's enough water to take all of us down right now. See, I need to be seeing his glory and his face. I need to be blinded by his light. Paul thought he knew who Jesus was, that he was a charlatan and a fake. He was going to go kill some more Christians. But Jesus interrupted his little trip. And he got blinded by the light. Now, it's okay if you're blinded by the right kind of light. See, Paul had all these giftings. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisee. He had Roman citizenship. He'd been to the best universities. He was cool on himself. He had to be blinded by the light of Jesus. So at one point he says, I count all of that stuff as dung. I count all of that as rubbish, because now I know who really loves me. Now I know what my true purpose is. Now I know who calls me out of darkness into his light. See, we have to get this to the stage of not seeing ourselves, either because we think we're so talented, or either because we think we're so undeserving. We have to look at Jesus. You need to be blinded sometimes to this world, blinded to the storms, blinded to the situations that distress you, blinded to the situations that depress you, and looking on the face of Jesus. Till you get to the place where all you can think about is his mercy and his grace. The times he delivered you. The times he saved you from the accident. The time he healed you. The time when he provided the finance. The time when he blessed you. The time when he lifted you up. The time when he saved your children. The time when he healed you. That's what I'm talking about. That's what you got to see. But not with here, with here. Hallelujah. Is that what you have been seeing, or are you just looking all around at all the mess, all the distractions, all the things that take away our focus? Matthew 14:30. Peter, as long as he was looking at Jesus, he could walk in a storm. Think about that. As long as he kept his eye on Jesus and kept his mind upon the word, which was come. Jesus, if he tells you come, even if it's a storm, get out your boat. Start walking. Start moving. Because you cannot sink if he gives you the word. Hallelujah. As long as he kept looking at Jesus, he made it. He kept on going. But then his flesh started to say, this is impossible. Am I crazy? This wind is so high. This is water. And he took his eyes off Jesus. See, that's what the devil wants to do to you and me. Take our eyes off Jesus. To start to realize that this is impossible. I'm telling you, many times I've walked through life and it was only God's word that kept me going. What I was doing was impossible. I could not do it of myself. I could not get through this of myself. It was crazy. It couldn't be done. And I had to keep looking at Jesus, because if I started to think about what was actually happening, how he was taking me through, I would have started to sink, because in the physical, in the flesh, it was impossible. We have to keep our eyes on Jesus. You see, for true unity and fellowship, I also need to be blinded to offenses. Hello? The offense you caused me, if I'm going to look at that, I'm going to get a harumph. I'm not going back to that church. I need to be blinded to offenses. If you are filled with the Spirit, I need to see the Jesus in you. I need to look for the Jesus in you. Thank you. I like sweating. It's good for me. I need to be blinded to offenses. Do you understand that? I can't look for every offense. I need the light of Jesus to blind those things. If you are filled with the Spirit, you're my brother and my sister. Here's what Philippians 4:8 says. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think of those things. That's what I got to be looking at. I need to see the Jesus in you. You need to see the Jesus in me. Don't be looking for my faults. If you're looking for my faults, you will find my faults. You will find my mistakes. You will find my errors. But look for the Jesus. Look for the good report. Look for the hallelujah and the praise the Lord. I'm going to do the same to you. I'm going to be looking for the Jesus in you. I need to be blind to your faults and failures. What does the scripture say? Love covers a multitude. Not a little bit. A multitude of sins. By that I mean offenses. We need to be blinded by his light. You know, if you're blinded by his light, you only can see one thing. Jesus wanted his disciples to be blinded by his light. He took them up on a mountain and he started to disrobe of the flesh. And you know what? The Bible said his raiment became as white as any laundry could make it. They couldn't even look. They stopped seeing themselves and could only see Jesus. This is what has to happen. This is what happened to Paul. He was going there full of himself, and God blinded him. If you came here full of yourself, we need Jesus to blind you. If I came here full of myself, I need him to blind me so that all I can see is Jesus. Paul said, all I want to know is Jesus Christ and him crucified. I don't want to know about any other mess. I want to know Jesus Christ and him crucified. You know, in our consecration, I told you one of the things you should do is fast from negativity. Can you go a week without putting someone down or saying something negative? Ooh. I don't know if there's many hands to say yes here, me included. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just. You know, if we were to use this scripture to measure ourselves, have we been blinded to that extent so we don't see the bad in people? We only look for the good. Amen. You know, no matter how bad the person in the dock in the court, he could be the worst criminal out. His mom will be there. Please have mercy. He could have just killed 20 people. His mom will be there. You know what? She'll be seeing him as a little baby, as my little son. She'll be looking for the good. Isn't it great that's how Jesus looks at us? If all you can see is the good things, then you're not going to get mad at me. Right? If all I can see is the good in you, the fact that you are here, that you love God, that basically you want to be saved, I won't be looking for all your faults and failures. What God is telling us is we need to be blinded to see. Now, I admit it's a hard thing. It's a hard thing to just look for the good because we are flesh. See, what am I talking about to see? I'm talking about to see his love, to see his grace, to see his mercy, to believe his word, to trust his will. That's what I'm talking about when I'm saying to be blinded but to Jesus. When you've got all those things inside here, if that's all you can see, you'll be going home with a smile. Amen. If I told you you just won $100 million and you believed me, see, I see some people smiling right now. See, but the Bible said you have won more than that. If you are filled with the Spirit, you have passed from death unto life. Trouble is, Satan has blinded us to God's truth that we are seated in heavenly places. If you really believed you were seated in heavenly places, boy, you'd be happy. You'd be looking around and looking for the angels. Amen. There would be a smile of joy in your face. I am more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors, right? Isn't that what the scripture says? See, in the Old Testament, when Elijah was going to disappear, his servant Elisha said, listen, I want a double portion of what you got. I want double your glory. And you know what Elijah told him? You have to see me. You're going to have to see me when I go. Now, it's a really strange thing he told him. Like, you'd think he'd tell him something else. You got to, you know, something else. But that don't make no sense. You have to see me when I go if you want double. And I think the Lord did that for us. I think he set up this example in the Old Testament as a way of us understanding how the blessing comes down. We have to see him. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 10. Now, as I said, seeing only Jesus is a hard thing. Elijah told him, yeah, what you've asked of me is a hard thing. Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. Okay, so now Elisha knew what his target was. So you know what he was going to do? He was going to make sure he was not going to let Elijah out of his sight. We have got to make sure we don't let Jesus out of our sight. It's a hard thing. It's a hard thing. But you know what? If you want the double portion, if you want the blessing, if you want salvation, you're going to have to do just like Elisha. Elijah told him, yeah, you've asked a hard thing, but if you see me. And then, you know, Elijah does some strange things. It's almost as if he's trying to shake him. It's almost as if he's trying to test him. He starts moving around the country. He gets up and he goes to Gilgal. Then when he gets to Gilgal, he says to Elisha, you know what? If you're tired, if you just want to take a rest, you can sit here, you know? Oh, no. He's remembering, I got to see this guy. If I don't see him, I'm going to miss out. So he gets up and he goes to another town. He goes to Bethel and he tells Elisha the same thing. You know, if you're getting tired, you rest a little while. He says, oh, no, no, no. I'm going to follow you all around. Then he goes to Jericho and he says the same thing. You see, it's a hard thing, but you have to be determined. You can't be dissuaded. You must not be persuaded except for one thing. I want to see Jesus. The last place he goes to Jericho. And of course, all of this is biblically deep what's happening here because it's the same place where Israel crossed over. And he goes across Jericho and he goes up the same mountain that Moses went up. But you know what? Elisha was going to stick by him. He wasn't going to let him out of his sight. Now, the interesting thing is Elijah, the name Elijah means God is, my God is Jehovah. Now you get the symbol that Jesus is putting here. He saw God, Elijah, which means my God is Jehovah, taken up in a chariot of fire. And when he saw him, when he was watching Elijah get glorified in this fire, he got the double portion. You have to be blinded to this world and its attractions. You have to be blinded to even your strengths and your talents. You've got to be blinded to your weaknesses. You have to be determined that you must see Jesus. And if they tell you, stay away from church, it's a Sunday, you're tired, you got to get up early, don't listen. Come to Sunday school. You'll hear a word. Who knows, you might see Jesus. You see, you're going to have faith to do this thing. It's a hard thing. He told Elisha, listen, what you're asking is a hard thing. Then he seemed like he was trying to shake him. The devil will try and test you and what you say you believe. But I want you to know that you are Jesus' prized possession. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2 gives us the whole story. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That means he started writing your book when you were born. He declared you perfect. As a baby, you were born innocent. Your name was in the book of life. Now, will you give him back the pen? I've written some terrible chapters in my life. He's saying, you want to give me back the pen so this can have a happy ending? And they lived happily ever after? You only get that story if Jesus is the author and the finisher of your faith. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He's given us a clue how we can get through this. The joy was not the cross, but with what comes after. You can still have joy if you know that there is an end. You know that there's going to be deliverance. If you know that there is blessing. If you know that you are loved. If you know that you're his child. If you know that you've been called. If you know that he's looking down on you and calling you his beloved. Amen? If you know that you can look at him. The key is to see Jesus. Even in the Old Testament, that was the key. In John chapter 8, verse 56, Jesus was arguing with some Pharisees. He said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see, let's say it, see my day. They looked at Jesus and said, you're not even 50 years old. And you saw, Abraham saw you. He said, yep. If you look in the Old Testament, every hero of the Bible, they saw Jesus. Jacob saw Jesus in Genesis 28:13. He said he went to sleep and he saw a ladder and the Lord standing at the top. Amen. Abraham saw Jesus. Moses saw Jesus as the rock. Joshua saw Jesus as the commander of the Lord's host. Even Job saw Jesus in Job 19:25. He saw him as the Redeemer. My question is, how do you see Jesus? Are you looking at all? The Bible says, look up. Why? For your redemption draweth nigh. Job 19, he says, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And even though I might die, the skin worm's going to take my body. Verse 27, he says, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another. Now that's a declaration of faith. Job was saying, listen, even if I die, I'm going to be resurrected, and I am going to see him for myself. Like Paul, we're going to have to be blinded to some of the things that take us out of focus in seeing Jesus. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, John, who was by this time in his 80s or 90s, is writing to the church. He said, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know, and that's the key, those three words, we know. Not we believe. The next step after believe is we know. You got to get to not that we believe, but that we know. When you know, when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Why? For we shall see him. We shall see him. I want you to repeat after me. I shall see him. All right, you have it up here. You need to get it down here. I shall see. He says, for we know that when he doth appear, we shall be like him. Why? The only reason you're going to be like him is if you're going to see him. If you could stand with me. Those three words, and we know. You know, when you're talking about levels of belief, you can say, well, I think it's so, or maybe it's so. I believe it's so. But if you're a witness and they make you swear, you're supposed to be of the level of, I know, I saw that. I was an eyewitness. In Peter, he says, we were eyewitnesses of his death and resurrection. We saw him put to death. We saw the resurrected Christ. We have seen Jesus. Mary Magdalene, she was determined to see Jesus. She was the first one at the tomb. Every disciple who went on to be blessed, to be used, had to have an experience of seeing Jesus. Lastly, Paul, who never met him while in the flesh, so to speak, but he was blinded by his light. And then he was blind for 3 days. And then God opened his eyes. We need to see Jesus. We need to absolutely claim his love. Understand that he's looking down on us right now and says, you're my beloved. In Romans it says he calls those things that are not as though they are. So he can call me who's got all kinds of stuff that isn't the way I want it to be. He can declare me perfect. He can declare you perfect because he's God. He said, who shall lay a charge to God's elect? It is God that justifieth. He declares us perfect. He calls the things that are not as though they be. If we could get that down here, that should make you happy. Because that means you can come boldly, not timidly, to a throne of grace. There to receive mercy. I need God's mercy. I need his grace. I want to only see him. I don't want to see mess. I don't want to see anybody else's faults. I don't want to know about anything. Paul said, I only want to know Christ and him crucified. Imagine if that's what we truly could focus on. Boy, there would be so much power. There'd be so much joy. There'd be so much deliverance. There'd be so much blessing. Elisha, only if you see me is this going to happen. Well, I'm not going to let you out my sight. I don't care where you go. You cross rivers, I'm coming with you. You go to this town, that's not going to work. I am determined. Are you determined to see Jesus? The Greeks came and they said to Philip, Lord, please, we would see Jesus. Don't see me up here today. See and hear his word. Understand his love. I'm closing this service, but I want you to understand that we need to see, we need to be blinded to this world. There's distractions all around. When you leave here, there'll be a phone call. Tomorrow morning, there'll be trouble. There'll be some storms, some water coming into your boat. But you look out on the water. Somewhere out there, there'll be Jesus. And if you see him, say, bid me to come unto you. Let him give you just even one word. Just one word. One word. Come. And that one word will allow you to walk through this week's storm. If you keep your eyes on Jesus. If you start looking at the sickness, the job, the relationship, you are going to sink. But if you will keep your eyes on the author and the finisher of our faith, you're going to make it. Closing this service, the story ends with Jesus coming into the boat. And instantly, if you read it, they reach the other side. It's like nothing happened. You know why? Because they kept their eyes upon Jesus. Once he's in your boat, it doesn't matter what the storm is happening. Yes, it's going to be a storm. Yes, Elijah said, yeah, what you've asked is a difficult thing. But you keep your eye on me. And as I said, Elijah means my God is Jehovah. He saw, symbolically, Jehovah going up. We need to see Jesus going up. And if we do that, we're going to get the blessing. These altars are open if you want to come and pray. But I want you to think about this message. When you leave here today, don't let Satan steal this. I must see Jesus. I must see Jesus. I, the pastor, must see Jesus. Yes, I can't be pastor. I don't want to see any faults or failures. I need to see Jesus. Hallelujah. We're going to pray. Ask for God's blessing. Ask that he will come into our vision. That he will blind us to this world and open our eyes to his will. That we get in alignment with his word and his direction. Father, Lord, we just thank you for your presence and anointing. We thank you for your word, Lord God, that you want us to focus on you. Not to be distracted by this world's pleasures, by this world's torment, by this world's troubles. But Lord, that our vision, our priority, our will, our mind, our direction will be on you. That your love will cover us, that your mercy and grace will surround us, Lord. That we will look to you only. Hallelujah. That you will write the next chapters of our life. Lord, that we can have the expected outcome. The plans that you have for us, Lord, will be fulfilled. Lord, we ask right now, Lord Jesus, that you speak into our heart right now, Lord God. That you move in this place. Lord God, that those who have come for prayer, those who are praying right now, Lord, that you will blind them to the troubles, Lord, that their faith will be in you. Lord God, that they know, Lord God, and put their trust in you. We thank you right now, Jesus. Church, if you could pray with me as we pray for those at the altar.